Next, the hopeless bonus syndrome. This usually strikes your more seasoned workers. They've been in the practice long enough to believe that whatever's holding back the practice, and thus their bonus, isn't going to be fixed in the foreseeable future. Now, there's a pretty good chance that you'll at least be given warning by these soon-to-be-departed superstars. You've got to learn, however, to recognize the warning signs. This person will not approach you and directly say that, "I'm going to quit unless you give me a big raise or fix the practice so it can bonus." What they tell you will be a factor of their personality. The assertive ones will give you notice by saying that they're feeling discouraged by their lack of consistent bonus. The not assertive ones will find the prospect of approaching you directly about their pay to be completely out of the question. They'll simply begin circulating their resume to the surrounding offices and answering the want ads. It's the more assertive ones that will use the old, "the doctor down the street approached me" trick, you know, offering me $3 an hour better pay. When doctors start approaching your staff, you can bet that they're out there circulating their resume. When staff start telling you that they would rather revert to the merit system, you know, every 6 months we have an interview and you give me a raise, if they approach you with that, you know, wanting to get off the bonus, going back to that approach, consider yourself on notice. That means that staff are now telling their friends that they'd like to be notified if they hear of a job opening in the office that friend is working in. If the practice is stuck, imagine that someone has lit the fuse on an explosive device hidden in your office. This is especially true if your current staff and their corresponding bonus leaves them below a pay level that would be considered competitive for the area. You may be thinking that this represents unfair pressure on you to continually increase your practice production. Don't forget, your staff are not the only ones that will be pressing you for higher pay. Your landlord, suppliers, and others are interested in an additional pound of your financial flesh and getting it on an ongoing basis. And finally, being ashamed of the practice. The better the staff person, the less tolerable they will be on a poorly run office. If the doctor is routinely overselling or offending patients, verbally roughing up staff, or constantly trying to weasel the team out of their pay or bonus, you can count on losing your best people. One of the hallmarks of great employees is their high self-esteem. People who have respect for themselves and their ability will not want to be associated with an observably bad service. Yes, if your clinic is the personification of a chaotic patient nightmare, the addition of a production superstar would be a great asset. Unfortunately, that's not the sequence that changes this condition. Occasionally, you'll find that person who prides themselves on fixing problem offices like the ones I just described. Again, small market share for such people. Most of them are making six-figure salaries in major corporations. I've been told by some employees that they are so ashamed of the way patients are treated in their clinic that it's all they can do to stop themselves from warning off would-be patients when they call the office. I've yet to hear this story from an employee who wasn't at least passively looking for alternative employment. All right, that concludes our discussion of the seven deadly employee retention sins. If you recall, I asked you to score yourself on each of these. Yes, that will help. But if you feel comfortable doing so, it would be better to have your own employees score the clinic on its quality employee retention index. That is to say, what do your staff, that is your own staff, feel is contributing to your employee turnover problem if you do in fact have one? You can use this recording and the employee turnover report card that I've included for you to sample the opinion of your own staff on this topic. Again, I would only use the report card if you do have a turnover problem. There are practices that have almost no employee turnover. Is that a good thing? The answer is yes, so long as the practice is growing and profitable. All right, next, let's talk about the propensity to keep the wrong people too long. I've noticed that the doctors who feel stuck with workers that even they know they should have removed long ago tend to cite an oft-repeated list of rationale for their retention of those that we here at Whitehall refer to as the undead. Here's the list, just in case you think I haven't heard your reasons for keeping these anchor tenants in place. One, fear that this person's replacement will actually be worse than the one you have. Two, fear of being sued or seriously hated by the terminated. And three, serious concern for the feelings of the soon-to-be departed. Number four, the impact of this person's departure on the patients. Five, the negative impact on existing team members who are close to this person. And six, the prospects of the clinic's downtime through either recruitment or training of the replacement. And seven, the unbearable thought of training yet another potential failure. So yes, I've heard your particular fear, and I can tell you that the cost of keeping a growth-killing employee overshadows all seven of the concerns that I just listed. The first thing you need is a criteria for judging who belongs in the practice and who has to go.